howdy, hey, and welcome to a very special edition of The Magic Within. Now, unless you've been living under a rock, the UK theme park scene has kind of been taken by storm over the past week because of a little announcement that Universal Studios is officially coming to the UK. Yeah, you heard that right. It is coming to Bedfordshire, and I had to do a podcast last minute to talk about it. We've got concept art, but I couldn't do it alone. So I've got four fantastic guests. I'll do a little intro about them in the episode, but to go through them quickly, we've got Ash Valmont, we've got A Brit Travels, Lee from A Brit Travels, to be specific. We've got Charlotte and Tash from Taking the Mickey, and we've got my good friend Luis Loves Films. Now, I ask all three of these guys the same question. The first question is, what was your first initial thoughts when Universal Studios UK was announced? The second question is, what IPs and what rides do you think and what would you like to see at Universal Studios UK? And with that, we've got the concept art. So we zoom in, we have a look, we see where things could possibly go. And the third question is, what do you think this means for the UK theme park scene? Now, let me just clear something up straight away, because obviously we speculate in this video. We say, oh, it could be this, it could be this. The BBC have leaked something. That is not confirmed by Universal. We do discuss that in the video. But just to make it clear right now, this is all discussion. None of this that you're going to hear ahead of the time, none of it's confirmed, aside from the fact that Universal Studios have confirmed that they are building a park in the UK. So without further ado, welcome to episode 3 of season 2, The Magic Within Universal Studios UK. Okay, right. So first, I of course had to bring guests. That's what this whole new series of A Magic Within is about. And I had to bring guests in to talk about this. It's huge news and a huge first guest. Somebody who, to be fair, I probably speak to every day now. More followers on TikTok than he knows what to do with, like 135K at this point, I believe. And a Disney star. 335K. I'm sorely mistaken.
Not to flex, but
No, flex. You should flex. And of course, flex about this, a Disney Store UK ambassador, which is so cool. So Ash, it's a pleasure to have you here. Introduce yourself a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think I can do better than that, to be honest. So, I'm Ash. I'm a TikToker, Disney Store UK brand ambassador, which is like the honor of my life. But obviously, as we're going to be talking about today, massive theme park fan in general. I mean, it's not a trip to Walt Disney World Orlando without also venturing over to Universal. So obviously we're going to talk about it today, and I have a lot of thoughts on it, so excited to go through it.
Obviously we have Lee from A Brit Travels here, and let me tell you something, Lee is the man. Like, I shared the video on my story yesterday to break down all the details, all the stuff that I didn't want to be searching all these different web pages, finding out these contracts. And not only that, you provided footage of the build site. It was perfect. And then that led me to all the other videos. And, mate, such a big fan. And I'll be a fan forever now. But Lee, introduce yourself, because you have got the experience that I need for this episode.
I appreciate you saying that. Yeah. Well, I've been to a lot of theme parks at this point, as you've probably seen. Brit Travels, we travel around everywhere. Theme parks are quite a bit of our thing. We do it on Instagram, we do it on YouTube, and we try and give as honest feedback as possible and try to be really honest, not to, you know, be rude about anybody in the community, but there are people out there that do sugarcoat things a little bit more. And you know, we recently were at Universal Studios Japan, and things are very honest in those videos. So we're gonna keep that up, and we'll continue that with this park once it opens. We've got a few years to wait. Mm-hmm. Rock on wood, we will get there, and everything will be good. But yeah, we'll continue the tradition of following along the process.
Welcome to The Magic Within. Obviously, I've got Taking the Mickey, which is one of my favorite names on Instagram, by the way. Charlotte and Tash, a couple West End actors and theme park aficionados. I'm so happy that I finally get to speak to you both. Like we just said before we started recording, I just started talking as if like I'd known you for like years, and I haven't at all. But That is the beauty of social media. Charlotte, introduce yourself.
Amazing. Hi, guys. I am Charlotte. I'm one half of Taking the Mickey. And lovely to be here. I'm so excited.
Okay, we got through it. There is a little bit of technical difficulties with Charlotte, but we're just going to soldier on because I think we can soldier through it. The Wi-Fi is going in and out. Tasha, introduce yourself as well.
Cool.
Tash.
Oh yeah, no, don't worry. Call me whatever. I am Tash. I'm the other half of Taking the Mickey and the other half of Charlotte, obviously the better half, some might say. And yeah, that's kind of us. We met on the West End, so we're both actors and. Obviously, as our lives came together, we're also two massive Disney heads and theme park heads, so it kind of worked out for the best. It was great.
Meeting that person that actually shares that love for the parks is such a great feeling, isn't it?
Like the best. Literally, because kind of during lockdown, and I feel like during lockdown, you know, you kind of get to know each other from the base level. Like, we have nothing, really. And we were like, wait, you like Disney? I like Disney. We like it a lot. Let's watch the movies. And then when we were allowed to travel, our first holiday, we were like, let's go. We're going to put it to the test.
Louise, welcome back to The Magic Within. I think you're the only guest I'm speaking to on this one that is a returning guest. First ever returning guest, I guess, actually, apart from me and Jay. So, yeah.
I'll be back.
yeah, for sure. Welcome back to the podcast, my friend. And we have got one very specific thing. In fact, no, quickly before we touch on that, because everyone, we've done an introduction of you. Oh, the podcast isn't out yet, but it is coming. Tell everyone where you were last night.
I was lucky enough to go to The Last of Us Season 2 premiere, which was pretty, pretty cool. So I thoroughly recommend, if you're a fan of the games, if you're just a fan of the first season in general, The Last of Us Season 2 hits April 14th, exclusively on Sky and Now TV in the UK. Of course, HBO and all that in the States. But it's looking juicy. It's looking very good. They don't look like they've rushed it. They showed us a little preview after the first episode, which is awesome, by the way. No spoilers on the channel, so don't worry. Pedro Pascal is awesome as usual. And of course, Bella Ramsey comes in as well. Both of them absolutely fantastic. It's going to be a good season.
There we go. Very exciting. Very exciting. You know, Luis is actually Pedro Pascal's nephew, and that's why you got the tickets. So spread that far and wide. No, that's not true. But when you first heard the news about Universal coming to the UK, what was the first thing that popped into your head?
I guess there's kind of different stages, because obviously it's been rumored for years, and we've seen delays, and then there's like, I feel like the hope has built. It's been like we've cleared one hurdle, another hurdle, another hurdle, and then seeing like it's all confirmed, all signed off yesterday, that was dope. I was absolutely stoked about that. My first reaction to hearing about it was, I need to buy a house in Bedford, so I can literally go there every single day. But other than that, I imagine it was the same as everyone else. It's like, okay, cool, like what sections are going to be there, what lands are going to be in it, is it going to be closer to Studios, Islands Adventure, Epic Universe? Is it going to steal from all three, or is it going to be something brand new? That was probably my first reaction. And also, what all the other theme parks around are going to be thinking at the same time as well, whether that's Disneyland Paris or one of the UK ones as well.
Yeah, I completely agree, literally with everything, mate. Like Bedford, I was looking on Rightmove within an hour of the news coming out.
So you can't jump like 100%.
Yeah, 100%. Like there was flats for like 250 grand just in Bedford, and I'm sure they weren't that price yesterday. But you know what? More power to them. Fair play. Yeah. Make that bread while you can.
Exactly. Airbnb's about to go crazy.
And you know what? Like, I'm pretty certain that this is going to go ahead and happen at this point, but like, you never know, things like this do get announced and then end up getting delayed and then getting cancelled. So if I was owning property, absolutely. I don't think it will, touch wood. But if I was owning property, I'd jump on that trend as soon as I could.
Yeah. So, I've been following the rumors way back when. So the rumors initially started, there's a forum online inside Universal. It's a great repository for all things Universal, obviously, but there's a lot on there on parks around the world. And there were these rumors going around that Universal was going to repurchase a stake in Port Ventura World over in Spain. Mm. So they owned a quite large stake in that. I think it was around about 50% a decade or so ago. And that's why you see Woody Woodpecker and things like that.
Yeah.
at Port Ventura Worlds. It's a really interesting history. If you want to, I don't know enough about it to like go into detail on it, but it is a very interesting history there. So there were rumors cycling around about that. And then somebody that is absolutely fantastic in the community, she has covered Epic Universe to the nth degree, Alicia Stella. She is absolutely fantastic. Her and Bio Reconstruct have covered Epic Universe in so much detail. But Alicia went and dug down into records and purchase orders and everything here in the UK. And they found the purchase record for the land. And for me, like, I was a bit confused to start with. The UK, being the island that we are and the location that it is, it's closer to Luton Airport than it is to Heathrow Airport. You would think, you know, it's an interesting location, but I was so stoked, honestly. You know, I'm sure we'll get into a little bit more detail about the UK parks and how it compares to that, but I think it's going to give them a run for their money, you know, and it will really level up. If you've been to Universal Orlando, if you've been to Hollywood, you know, these kind of places, the level of immersion is second to none in these places. So for me, it was just like, my wife and I, Becky, we love doing escape rooms and things like that, getting fully immersed in the experience, right? We've done secret cinema as well, and we've dressed up for that experience. So being able to be really fully engrossed in something like that in the UK, like, I can't wait, honestly.
Just get me there to opening day, basically. Honestly, I feel like it's been so long kind of rumored and speculated that I think to have something of this size and scale in the UK is going to be major. And especially, like, you know, selfishly, I think as content creators, it's going to save us so much money. From having to go kind of abroad to the parks all the time. Because obviously we've got Disney Paris, the closest kind of, you know, I think the level of immersiveness in terms of a theme park, that's probably the closest best one that we have. So I think Universal is going to be major to have this on our doorstep.
Oh, so when we first found out, first of all, it was kind of like, oh my god, this is happening, because I feel like the rumors have been floating around for a long time now, genuinely. So when it got announced the other day, we were like, oh my gosh, this is huge for the UK, huge for Europe, especially like content creators of this side of the pond. You know, we don't have the most closest options, I would say. So it's very exciting. And I feel like we think as well, because Universal is such, you know, a huge name, it's a huge company, we don't have anything like that. So it's exciting for them to bring all of their expertise and that level of storytelling to the UK. Who would have thought? Also, first initial thought was definitely Halloween Horror Nights, by far, for me anyway. Yes. I was like, come on.
It was a matter of time. And I've said this to you. I think we said it on the podcast episode that obviously when it releases. But, you know, Disney or Universal had to conquer, especially Universal, had to conquer the European area at some point in time. And obviously London is the perfect place to do it, being the home of a hell of a load of Universal property. Obviously Disney, slightly different in terms of the fact that there's no Disney space here as per se, although they hire out Pinewood. And of course Disney, for those of you who don't know, are currently fully exclusive with Pinewood for the next, I think it's 6 to 9 months, which means that all the Avengers stuff, all your TV shows, all of that is currently filming there. Nothing else can go in, okay, unless there's been something there beforehand. So other than that, we've got nothing. Whereas Warner Brothers, massively owned by Universal, of course, it's, you know, pretty much the same company at this point in time. And you've got a lot of animation stuff happening in London, which is also by the Universal company. It just makes sense. Of course, Harry Potter speaks for itself.
Okay. But Ash, you mentioned lands, you mentioned rides, and I think that's the thing that all of us started wondering straight away. So many questions. But to do that, we're going to go into the map. Okay. Is it going to work this time? It is. We're in the map. We're officially, we're in the concept art.
Like there already. I love it.
I know. Yeah. It's the next best thing. So see, people are out there at Epic Universe right now. Who needs it? We're in the concept art of Universal UK.
Exactly.
But tell me what you think is going to come to Universal UK and what you would love to see at Universal UK, because they are different things.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So what I think, because I was getting cocky earlier. So like I see obviously the Twitter discourse and into the discourse of people like interrogating this image, interrogating it, right, and saying, oh, this land looks like this, so it's going to be this, it's going to be this. And I was like, you're all idiots. Like, this is just a concept art. There's nothing specific. It's all generic. You're all just guessing, and this isn't what the lands are going to be, right? And then I found the concept art from 2021, and it had a very specific, clear Harry Potter section. And I was like, okay, maybe I'm in the wrong here. Maybe they sometimes do be specific. So who knows? Maybe this image is actually what the lands were going to get. So on that front, I don't know. I can't pick from any of these. But what I think will be there based on other parks, and what it'd be logical to do, I think Harry Potter is a given. I mean, I can talk about Harry Potter Land for however long we have, and I'll probably do it when I talk about what I'd like to see there. I think there should be a Harry Potter Land. I think Nintendo is just a money printer. I think they'd be fools not to put a Nintendo Land in there. Jurassic World, obviously movie after movie coming out and wildly successful over in the US. And then I've seen a few rumors around that I kind of agree with. So like something to do with Minions, I think makes total sense. Something for the kids while all the more adult sections are around there as well. And what other ones have I seen as well? There's been a few. I've seen some rogue ones like a Shrek Land, which would be epic. We have Shrek.
Weather would fit.
Yeah, exactly. And we have Shrek's Adventure in the UK. So why not a Shrek section of Universal? What else? And I've seen a rumor that the Jaws ride would be making a return. Which I don't believe, but I would adore, because that ride was goated. It's one of the best rides of all time, and was a shame to see it go. And then randomly, there was a Back to the Future Land rumored, which I think is nonsense, but a Back to the Future ride, maybe, because it was obviously removed from the US parks.
I've seen rumors that this one could be, and listen, I like Back to the Future. I respect it as a franchise. I'm not the biggest fan of it, but if you show me a roller coaster that looks like a DeLorean that fires backwards at 88 miles an hour,
then take
my money. 100% take my money.
I put together a little video of my thoughts and feelings on this, whether that's accurate or not. Since I put the video live, we're sort of 24 hours post that recording this, I've seen a few extra little details in the concept art. So just above, I called it Main Street in my video.
Yeah.
Look like Main Street, doesn't it? Really?
Yeah.
But just off to the right-hand side of Main Street, there's a very small body of water just as you turn right out of Main Street.
This one.
And that kind of rings Jaws-esque to me. You know, Jaws, Universal Studios Florida, because that is such a beloved attraction that we lost for Diagon Alley. So that wasn't something that I mentioned in my video because I didn't spot that. But that's something...
This bit here, can you see the map?
Yeah, I've got
right,
it.
Right, cool. I just wanted to double check that I wasn't looking at something that you weren't. Is this the bit you mean, this little pool?
That's the one, yeah. So it's just off the track enough that it's probably going to have a little bit of a queue area.
Yeah.
We've got a little body of water. Jaws had the boats, kind of like skipper jungle-esque boats. So I'm curious as to whether we're going to get that. It might be a good way of paying homage to the British crowd that travelled to Orlando in the late 90s, early 2000s, before it was taken out for Diagon Alley in the Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
I'm one of them people. Look.
So you've been there, yeah.
Yeah, 2003 I was in Orlando. So yeah, I went on Jaws. It was incredible.
It's a fantastic ride. I sadly never went on it in Orlando, but I did go in Japan. I've been on it a couple of times in Japan because it's still there. But that's quite a good... It's a dry, wet ride. You don't have to get wet on it, but you've got a boat ride that is quite high capacity. They need some of that. They need a lot of rides that they can have inside as well, and covered. So a boat ride with a cover to it would be quite a good one to have.
That really does look like a hut as well. The more you say it, the more I just can't think about it. And this building looks like a dark ride building.
The one,
so even if it's gonna come in, and you know what I mean.
So in that location in Universal Studios Beijing, there's a walkthrough attraction called Lights, Camera, Action.
Okay.
And it is Steven Spielberg and a Chinese director giving you a walkthrough how they set up a special effects scene, let's say.
Okay.
So you're in the middle of a typhoon in whatever city they've devised here. So mm-hmm. you have the fire, you'll have the rain, things like that. I'm thinking that could be a similar attraction. Universal Studios Beijing is their latest park that opened in, I want to say 2021, 2022. So we're just before Epic at this point. Epic had started construction. And I think this park in the UK is going to take a lot of similarities from Universal Studios Beijing because the climates can be quite similar. Universal Studios can be in minus 5, minus 10 degrees in some cases, but it can go all the way up to 30 degrees, 40 degrees in Beijing. So they've got a good mixture of indoor and outdoor rides. They've got a couple of coasters that are outside, but they've got a lot of indoor rides with Forbidden Journey. They've got an entire Kung Fu Panda land inside as well, which is really interesting. So I think we'll see a lot of similarities between the two. Just catering to our climate over here.
I completely agree. And like I said, this is exactly why I wanted you on. I've been to Universal Orlando. That's my one and only. Granted, over a span of a couple of decades, so I've seen it in different kind of positions. Like I say, I was there for the Jaws ride. I experienced the Back to the Future ride, even the Terminator show. It was great, and it's a completely different place now.
Gosh, okay. Things that we want to come over. Was that the first one?
Whichever order you like. I'm not picky.
Oh gosh. I mean, I would love Harry Potter to come over. Mm-hmm. But I think realistically, and I don't know if this is for later in the interview. But I don't think it can. I think it will be like an Avengers Campus type mm-hmm. of situation in Orlando, that because Warner Brothers has the rights to the Harry Potter Studios tour, I don't think we'll actually be allowed to have Harry Potter in the theme park realistically.
I'm gonna butt in because I've got something along with that. Because obviously in theater, right? So if you're in a tour and production, you're not allowed to go like close to the West End production of that same production, right? So I would worry that they would think that it would take money away from the studios.
I think it is a good point. I think it is a very good point. I think it's tricky because we won't get too much into this specific point, because I do want to hear what Charlotte wants to see. But I think there is a counter argument that it could take more money to it, in the sense of how we look at an Orlando holiday. And we go over for a good amount of time, and you might go to Warner Brothers Studio, and you might go to Universal, and you might go to Disneyland Paris, mm-hmm. because it's all within a few hours, trains and stuff like that. But it is very much a kind of you don't know until it happens situation. So I agree. I think Harry Potter is one we all would love to see, especially with it. We feel like it's ours.
Definitely.
Yeah, exactly. I think it will feel really odd if it's not here. But yeah, my question is whether legality wise, I mm-hmm. think it's whether it would be allowed to happen. I was trying to Tash earlier about this. Like, our thing at the moment that we just keep seeing in theme parks in general is that like millennials were the kids, you know, we were kids in the 90s and it kind of when these major IPs were kind of brought out. And now we're older, we're the ones with the money to spend at the theme parks. And I feel mm-hmm. like theme parks are really catering to that at the moment, especially Disney. You know, you see like kind of Cusco and Emperor's New Groove and Goofy Movie and all these things. And they're really kind of, you know, catering to that with little merch nods here and there. And I don't think this would happen, but I would love to see like a millennial nostalgia land at Universal Studios, where it's all the old school Universal IPs like E.T., Back to the Future, Jaws, King Kong, like almost like a nostalgia land. That mm-hmm. would just make my heart very happy. Because I know there's kind of some speculation about potentially a Back to the Future ride being down in the lower left there, which I think would be amazing. And if that concept art is anything to go by, it would be amazing.
Have you seen any other rumors? Because obviously I'm filming this and rumors are coming out day after day. There's a lot of rumors about James Bond, Paddington, and Lord of the Rings. How do you feel about all of these?
So yeah, we chatted before we came on here about the James Bond one. Was it the, did we mention like it was a show or something, right?
Mm-hmm. I would.
Yeah, like potentially like the Waterworld thing at the top. I think the Waterworld thing could be an amazing like James Bond stunt show type of deal.
Yeah. And like, not even as a James Bond fan, like genuinely that would be something that I would really want to see. And I think, yeah, like I know like my whole family's obsessed with James Bond. I know they'd watch it. You know what I mean? I think as Brits, a lot of British people love a bit of James Bond. So I think that is a good speculation. Lord of the Rings, if they brought that over, I think it would be amazing. And I think, let's say, hypothetically, if they didn't bring over Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, I think, would be like the most epic kind of alternate and something different that would make people come over here for it because it has such a large fan base. I'd love that one.
Yeah,
I agree. I completely agree that it would go crazy.
Massive.
Yeah. Yes.
That's the thing. It almost deserves it. So Middle Earth almost deserves its own park in my head. And that's why I'm like, how can you just give that a land? On to what you said about James Bond and Paddington, if that happens, like a Paddington dark ride would just be incredible.
It would be so cute.
I always think as well, so I'm thinking about me, I'm UK, I'm British. When you think of what people from the US think of UK, James Bond will be one of the first things they think. Paddington will be one of us. You have to think of that outside tourism as well and what's going to bring people in and bring people to the UK for a quintessentially UK experience, whatever that IP may be, in the same way that when you walk down Main Street, you get that old school American feel. Like the people that come over to the UK are going to want that almost feeling of being in a fake version of the UK, essentially a stereotype. So I think that could lean into that. I don't think James Bond will be a lander. I'm with you guys. I think it'll definitely be a sure.
But will be happening. On the sort of right hand side of the map, you can see a pretty much, you know, identical remake of the sort of Illumination Courtyard, slash the Despicable Me Minions area that we see over in the Shanghai and Hong Kong parks. And I think obviously that's just going to come again, especially in the UK. It's a huge IP. It's going to happen. There's nothing really juicy special about that. Obviously, we're going to get the outdoor coaster. Yeah. On that, the James Bond section in the top, you know, the big Waterworld looking thing, they've also confirmed that's not Waterworld. It's going to be a James Bond stunt show. Again, pretty cool. I mean, of course, it's UK.
Have they confirmed this, though, Louise? Apparently Universal haven't confirmed anything. BBC Universal have.
Themselves haven't. BBC have. So, obviously, do we trust the BBC?
No.
No. So either way, you know, Waterworld or Bond show, cool.
I think I like the idea of a Bond show. That's the one thing where I'm like, look, I've seen the Stuntacular. The Bond Stuntacular is incredible, and it would make James Bond would make a fantastic like replacement for that.
Yeah.
So I'm all for it. I just I've seen these rumors, and I'm seeing people get run away with it a little bit in terms of like, this is going to happen. And it's like, listen, this could be one fella that did a site visit for Universal and has gone and leaked and said, I heard him talking about Lord of the Rings. But
I mean,
we can speculate.
What I will say, though, is if you look at this map, a lot of people have said, oh, they're missing this person. They're missing this. Look at the space for expansion here. I'm sorry, but there's so much land that has been purchased here. It's huge. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, I mean, if you look at the way Paris has been done, okay, Disneyland Paris, they bought the land, and over the years they've expanded. I think that's just going to be inevitable. That's going to happen.
Take my
well.
Money.
I mean,
the big discourse with the Harry Potter thing is obviously the contract thing with, and I don't know enough about that. All of a sudden, we seem to have some experts in contract law on X and online and stuff like that. But I've seen the BBC have actually leaked something and said that there's an issue. And I'm with you. Like, it's a no-brainer. If that issue is there, whatever. But we're here to talk about what we would love to see. So go into a little bit more Harry Potter detail with me, because obviously, like, are you thinking a dupe, same thing that's somewhere else, or a unique Harry Potter land?
I think Hogsmeade would make the most sense, because you and I spoke about this yesterday, based on your genius idea, like a straight train from King's Cross to this place. 1,000 IQ idea, just amazing. Build a platform 9 3/4 at King's Cross and just print the money. and it takes you straight here, right? Because it's not that far. It's like 30 minutes away from King's Cross, right? So it makes total sense. And then there's more money to be made on that train with merch and sweets and all sorts. So yeah, come on, Universal, if you're listening. So I think Hogsmeade makes total sense. And I think it'd be brilliant to have as well, because Hogsmeade obviously is based in Scotland. So has the same terrible weather as us. So it'd be authentic. It doesn't have to be sunny all the time like Orlando. But it would, it'd feel authentic. And I think they could do some really cool stuff there. And obviously the UK is the home of Harry Potter. So, makes total sense. And we didn't mention this before, but the reason I got to where I am on TikTok originally was I was a Harry Potter content creator. So I'm a huge fan. I'd just love to see it. I think it'd be cool.
I agree. And it would be, and like, listen, I understand contracts are contracts, and it's weird in Orlando that they've still got Marvel stuff. It is weird, and these things do happen.
Yeah.
But it just would be so strange that the one park that Universal don't have a Harry Potter land in, obviously, is that. Yeah, it is the UK. It just, something doesn't quite sit right there.
Yeah, one of the Asian Universal parks, I can't remember which one it is, but they have a, because the main complaint people are saying why it can't happen is the studio tour is not far away, right? The Harry Potter studio tour. But one of the Asian Universal parks also has a studio tour not too far away, and they've got around it. And if people are saying you can't have two Harry Potter lands next to each other, Universal Orlando has three. So you have Hogsmeade, Diagon Alley, and now, Paris from
Miss.
I'd be interested to see the negotiations if they are happening.
I think, in my personal opinion, I think anybody who is flying over, because let's be honest, it's a long way. It's a long way to come. Like, so we go over to Orlando, look at how much is there. There's Epic now. There's the two Universal parks. There's the water parks. There's even SeaWorld and what have you, Busch Gardens. So much to do.
Yeah.
If people fly over from the US to here to go to this park, I don't think they're just going to want to go to one park. So having the studio tour 40 minutes away, I think is actually a good thing.
I agree. Make it a multi-day. Yeah.
Yeah, it's another day out. I actually include that and shake hands with them, essentially. Yeah, do a deal.
Yeah.
There has been quite a lot come out over the past day or two in terms of rumours. Rumours that I was not seeing coming, particularly James Bond. But a stunt show makes sense, right?
Yeah. I've seen the rumors as well. It's an interesting one. It means that they'll be teaming up with Amazon, because I believe it's Amazon that own MGM and the rights to James Bond. That came out in the news probably about three weeks ago, that they got the actual rights fully. So that would be interesting. It would be really catering to the British crowd, for sure. And obviously that's the crowd that we're going for here. In the main instance, there's been a number of rumors. I believe BBC did an article on it yesterday or today. Sorry to date your podcast here.
No, that's all right. That's all right. It needs to be dated.
A couple of days, you know. And they were talking James Bond, Lord of the Rings, things like this that hold a lot of sentimental value for a lot of people. Lord of the Rings is such a treasured IP. And there's been rumors for the past half a decade or so that Universal got the rights to the theme park rights to Lord of the Rings. So that'll be interesting. There is right at the back of the spec map. There's a covered indoor area that's got a couple of show buildings. It's like sort of the top right of the map.
Okay, right. Let me find you up here.
Yeah, that's the
one. By the Waterworld looking thing, just next to the next of it, yeah.
Yeah, so around about there, that could be an interesting one. You kind of look in, there's a building there that looks a little bit like a medieval kind of hut on the left-hand side there. We've got either kind of a Dark University type thing there, or a Lord of the Rings, maybe Zelda or something like that, but I don't think I'd go Zelda without going Super Nintendo. And there's no indication at all of Super Nintendo on this map, which is quite unfortunate.
But one that is out there, something that's completely out there that you probably isn't gonna happen, but you would just, for your sake, you would just, Tash, hit me with it.
Stealth. I had this idea maybe 10 minutes ago.
Like, I know what you're going to say.
From Charlotte. And I'm a huge Bridget Jones fan. Like,
okay.
It's my guilty pleasure. I will tell no one. So you're the first person that isn't my significant other that I've told that to. So feel special. And I was like, you can't do a ride of Bridget Jones. And then it came to me. So think a Doctor Doom drop ride, okay? And you know how in the movies she goes like skydiving or she goes down the fireman pole and they do like that boomerang effect? I think if the Doctor Doom ride, and then they film you kind of like at a lower angle and get that boomerang and it's a joke. See, that's the Bridget Jones ride right there.
Yeah, well, it's pink. Looks pink to me.
Right?
Yeah, it's a pink drop tower. Two, in fact. So
literally. And then we could also maybe have a show where we read her diary. I don't know.
That would be great, actually. A show would be so good.
A comedy show.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, not like the makeup show. Because it's completely, but you know what I mean? That kind of comedy where it's the funny, improv.
And authentic British experience, England. Yes.
To be honest, do you know what? It could be a kind of take. They could get the writers of the play that goes wrong to write it. Because basically, if you, it's like, you know, her presenting something and everything is just going wrong. That would actually
be. That slaps. That would be so good.
Right?
Yeah. I would watch that.
Get us on the creative team, Universal. We've got ideas.
Well. I'm not. I mean, don't get me wrong. Other IPs such as Back to the Future, I do think we're going to be seeing Hill Valley and the coaster you see in the bottom left-hand side. Mm-hmm. I do think that will be a Doc Brown back in time, you know, especially with the musical being so successful in London as well. I definitely think we're going to be getting something along.
This to me looks like, and I've probably said this to everyone, but this really does look like a coaster's going to shoot out the back, go up a ramp, and then go, like, it just looks like a DeLorean, you know what I mean? You know, like the way that, you've not been at Universal, but that Hagrid's has got a ramp moment.
Yeah.
I think they'll do that, but backwards.
I definitely think it'll be along the lines of that. And then last one in terms of, like, I mean, Paddington's been on the speculation, which I don't really... Sure. Okay, again.
Makes for a good dark ride, right?
It does. And I think you'll obviously get some kid rides alongside that as well. You know, like a Marmalade in the Sky ride, similar to, you know, the CBeebies Land.
Could be this.
Hours. I agree. I think it's that sort of area. However, Jurassic World as well, that's going to be a good one to have. Of course, it's a big IP. It looks very Jurassic World. But again, of course, this is all concept art. However, there are a few things that I would not only like to see, but there's also things that I think I have found inside the concept image. Now, I'm not sure if you saw my TikTok video that I did on it, but I am convinced that I have seen the little sort of like tavern chapel thing from Shrek. So in like the central area, just outside what is rumored to be the Wicked ride, which whether that's going
this
to be
green thing.
Wicked. I personally think that this building right here is going to be the some sort of Shrek theme in some way, shape, or form. Shrek is a massive IP in the UK, but this looks identical to the ones we see in the film. Now, some people are like, no, that's going to be the entrance to the Lord of the Rings. I'm sorry, it looks so similar from the steeples to the window. And of course, again, this is concept art, but why would you include such a particular building if it's not going to then be used? So for me, this is either going to be a restaurant area. However, the ride building behind it makes me think this is going to be some sort of Shrek dark ride, which means the area behind this, I think is going to be an area for expansion into a DreamWorks area. Now, the reason I think that is, of course, over in Dubai, I think it is, you've got the massive indoor DreamWorks park. The UK is known for one thing.
Rain.
So half of this stuff should be indoors because otherwise it's going to be so difficult to open, you know, nearly 365. Okay, it's inevitably going to have some indoor stuff. So I personally think this could be indicating that there's going to be a large expansive DreamWorks section indoors, just how we see in I think it's Dubai, but whatever the park is over in that sort of area of the world.
Fast and Furious would be an interesting one. If that's not Back to the Future, that should be Fast and Furious because those movies are still happening. I think if they haven't already, they're going to be killing one of the Fast and Furious rides in Orlando. That's the rumor.
They've done the one in Hollywood, haven't they?
I can't remember. I know because there's been a few things, haven't there? There's been like a stunt show and there's been rides.
Yeah.
They're tapering them down in the US, whereas bring them over here because they're still popular here. I think Minions make sense. I, full disclosure, hate the Minions. Like, hate them. I would gladly see them wiped from the face of the earth. But I think it makes sense in this park. because there will be kids going. And weirdly, a lot of adults like the Minions as well, so fair enough. Outside of that, Jurassic World, I've already said, it's what I think will be there, but I also want to see it there because, again, really immersive land. They're still printing movies, and yeah, it's just really cool. Like the rides, certainly on Orlando, the Velocicoaster is insane. Whether we get anything of that scale here, I don't know, but there's incredible.
I mean, to be fair,
yeah, there's a big one at the back.
I don't know what this is, but. Exactly. Look at the size of it.
Exactly. Exactly.
And look at this little thing.
Big one next to it as well. I don't know. You've been to Orlando, right? So you've got the Velocicoaster and the Jurassic Park water ride as well. That's a massive building. So what's that massive building next to it?
I believe, and I've got a fair amount of confidence in this, is going to be Jurassic World Adventure, which is a ride that's at Universal Studios Beijing. At time of recording, publicly, it is their most technologically advanced ride. Obviously we've got Monsters Unchained come in now and Battle at the Ministry in Epic, but they're not publicly available just yet. So Jurassic World Adventure is an indoor dark ride. I likened it as a hybrid between Dinosaur and Spider-Man's Adventure.
Okay.
Because it's got that kind of scoop ride vehicle, but you're on a track as well. You've got full-size dinosaurs chasing you, which is insane. It's all inside. It's got some screens, but the mixture between screens and physical sets is just seamless. And I think you need Jurassic Park or Jurassic World in this theme park. It's Universal's biggest property at this point, and I think that is gonna go there. I'm pretty certain of that. It's a fantastic ride. I'd encourage anybody, you know, even if they don't want to watch my videos on it, go and watch a ride through or something of Jurassic World Adventure from Universal Studios Beijing. And that kind of give you an idea as to where Universal are going with their ride technology as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's coming. I'm pretty certain that's coming.
Yeah, I agree. And to be looking at that over the water. I even think this whole thing could be similar to what you said, really, that a Jurassic World, that could be a Jurassic coaster, maybe not a Velocicoaster, because like it does look slightly different in the way that it does a little figure of eight here rather than the kind of corkscrew turn that you do in Orlando. But whatever it is, I want to go on that. There's a little piece of me that wants it to be a Defying Gravity coaster because it's green, but I don't actually think that it will be. I would just love it.
This is my thing, getting cocky about. I'm like, people are like analyzing this. I'm like, I don't think this is even remotely close to the reality of what it's going to look like. I think this is literally concept art. It's like, this is what it could look like. So I don't think even the artist knew necessarily what was going to be in there.
I think why people are getting so carried away with this is because when you look at the epic concept art, and now what it looks like, it is very on the money. And that is probably the biggest case of that I've ever seen in terms of concept to reality. I don't think I've ever seen something like, I've seen drone flyovers of Epic and been like, oh, that's a model. And then been like, oh, no, it's not. It's the real thing.
You and I are used to Disney's concept art, which is usually vastly different from where it becomes years later. Whereas, if Universal have nailed the Epic Universe concept to reality, fair enough. It is interesting. I mean, I've got it next to me now. I'm looking at the 2021 one, and it's a really bad quality image, but there is very clearly a Hogsmeade with a dragon breathing fire on top of it. And then the rest are just kind of like lit up, kind of almost trolls, Smurfs looking area. They're just lighting up disco happy little areas. So on the 21 artwork, there was a very clear Harry Potter area, and the rest were kind of who knows what, which is interesting that that's now very different from what we're seeing here.
Yeah, that is a very good point. That is a very good point. And lastly, because I'm going to ask you the final question, but as me and you are very much Disney people, not so. Look, we love Universal, but is this not most Main Street USA looking thing you've ever seen in your life?
1,000%.
As soon as I saw it, I was like, excuse me, that doesn't look like City Walk. Oh,
well, I'll tell you what it looks like. The new area in Disneyland Paris that leads up to the lake and Arendelle and Pride. Exactly like it. Like, it literally looks exactly like it.
To be honest, it looks very much like Adventure World in the layout, doesn't it? Yeah.
And
talking about concept art, actually, in the way that Disney do it, they gave us concept art of the Lion King land using the live action animals, and then we're like, oh no, it's going to be themed around that. Yeah. Why'd you do that then? But
God love them.
Wrapping that up, yeah, exactly. I'll still always love them. But wrapping that up, and I just wanted to ask you one thing, because I don't know how much you go to UK theme parks, how much you've been to them, if you've been to them in the past, but let's tell you what, let's step out of the map for this to exist.
I mean, my big one has to be Halloween Horror Nights, for us horror nerds. That's why it's so funny that Tash's favorite movie of all time is Bridget Jones, but also she's obsessed with horror films, and this is why I love her. But Halloween Horror Nights, and I just think there's so many. What's the, like,
give me a couple of houses then. Give me a couple of UK houses that would work.
This is why it would be so good over here. You've got all the kind of, you've got Sweeney Todd, you've got Jack the Ripper. I think you could do some sort of like Celtic type of world where you've got, you know, Kelpies, Loch Ness Monster, like
Wicker Man, like that kind of.
Yeah. There's so many amazing IBs. I mean, The Mummy, I also talked earlier about like how incredible it would be to have a dark universe over here. But to have like The Mummy, which, you know, it starts at like the British Museum. So it's already set kind of in England anyway. Like have like a really high tech new version of The Mummy ride. I just think it'd be amazing. And if we could do Halloween Horror Nights and have a dark universe, we'd be the only park in the world to have a dark, like have it all in one place, you know?
The Mummy would be for me. That would be mine. Complete, like complete. 100%. I know it's not the biggest franchise and I know it's not got the biggest fan base. Minions will make 10 times what The Mummy will make. I get it. But I still think that The Mummy that came out in 1999 is probably one of the best films I've ever seen. It's just,
100%.
I can't get too much into that because otherwise we'll be here for ages. I agree with everything you say. Which I always get confused horror film wise. Is it The Conjuring or one of them was set in the UK?
It was The Conjuring, but based on the house in Essex, right?
Yes, yeah, that. Can't so like before, stuff but, like yeah. that, even like more recent like horror movie IPs could really work as well. 28 Days Later.
Yeah.
Oh right. Good. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
I think we should just do an episode on UK Horror Nights.
Yeah. I reckon we will have a lot of general movies because, of course, that's what makes the original Universal Studios so successful is that it does play on Hollywood. And
this is the most Main Street looking thing I've ever seen. Well, though.
Yeah. 100%.
That is so Main Street.
It's going to be And like I say, look at the expansion on the right hand side of that. That's going to be consistently.
It'll all be built out.
Like I say, with London having such a huge part in the film industry, and like England in general having a huge part in the film industry, it would not surprise me if, you know, they don't consistently keep adding IP and things like that to here, because that's what Universal kind of does, is celebrate history of film as well as modern film.
I just wanted to ask you one thing, because I don't know how much you go to UK theme parks, how much you've been to them, if you've been to them in the past, but let's tell you what, let's step out of the map for this.
Yeah.
What do you think Universal coming to the UK means for the UK theme park industry?
A lot of terror. So for two reasons. So I grew up in a small town called Tamworth, just outside of Birmingham, which is relatively famous for having Drayton Manor, which is a small theme park for those who don't know. So I went there loads, like in my youth, and it's really near to Alton Towers as well. So I used to go there quite a lot. And since I've moved down south, obviously I've been to Thorpe Park and Chessington, which are the other two. Those are basically your four big theme parks in the UK. Right? So for all of those, I think they've got two options, which is because Merlin own, I think, three of them. Thorpe Park, Chessington and Alton Towers, either massively invest, because Merlin are the second biggest theme park company in the world behind like Disney, I believe. I don't know where Universal is now, maybe they've been overtaken. They need to invest heavily or do what Drayton Manor did years ago and pivot. So Drayton Manor was kind of geared towards the same crowd as Alton Towers, got kind of adults, young adults. It was roller coasters, thrill rides, etc. They realized the people who were in that area would just go to Alton Towers. So they pivoted massively, built Thomas Land based on Thomas the Tank Engine and catered much, much, much more to families. And it worked brilliantly for them. They saw their profits skyrocket or whatever. So I think, theme parks in the UK have two options, pivot or invest. I would suggest pivoting because you're never going to out-invest Universal, surely. I mean, Merlin have got big bucks, but the UK is almost also notoriously difficult to get planning permission for things as well. So whether they could even invest in the right things, who knows? Disneyland Paris, I think, are ahead of the game. They're already building Arendelle Pride Rock, so I think they're already seeing this coming and building new things to visit over there, and along with the nice, the cool hotels, the Disneyland Hotel and Hotel New York as well. I think they've got their multi-day destinations sorted already. And to the point we made earlier, people are flying from the US, China, wherever it happens to be. They're probably going to do both. They're probably going to do Disneyland Paris and Universal UK, let's be honest. It's not an expensive trip between the two. It's not time-consuming. It takes a few hours. Go for it. The other point, I said there's two things I think they need to consider. It's that one we spoke about earlier today is Halloween Horror Nights has been trademarked in the UK. So that should also terrorize Alton Towers, Thorpe Park, Tully's Farm, because 95% of Tully's Farm's revenue probably comes from their scare farm that they run in October. I think those guys are going to have a real problem on their hands if Halloween Horror Nights comes to the UK as well.
It changes it drastically, doesn't it? You know, prior to jumping on and recording this, we spoke very briefly about the likes of Alton Towers, Thorpe Park, things like that. And those, if you haven't been to Orlando, if you haven't been to Hollywood, even Disneyland Paris, right? Those are what you define as a theme park. But they don't have a lot of theming. That's the problem. They've got some fantastic rides. Do not get me wrong. I love a day at Alton Towers. I love a day at Thorpe Park. I think the closest thing we've got really is Legoland in some cases. You know, they've got quite a great level of theme in some of their lands. But to have something like this in the UK, something as deeply immersive as it could be, just comparing it to Orlando, and that's naturally what we're going to do as fans that have been to Orlando. You know, Universal Studios Florida is not my favorite park, but even if we get that level of theme in, you know, the show buildings in San Francisco, or you know, the Minion Minion, the Gru's house and things like that, right?
Yeah,
we don't get that level of theme in here in the UK. I think Merlin are the de facto champions of theme parks here in the UK. And there's been a lot of criticism of them in the community for lack of theming, for cutting corners in costs and things like that. And just, you know, they recently made a lot of their entertainment team redundant. So if we can get to that level of immersion, if we can get to that level of entertainment, because entertainment is what makes these theme parks great in some cases as well. If we can get something like Halloween Horror Nights and a premier Halloween event, you know, these kind of things, it's really exciting. And I'm not one of those that's like, it's going to put Merlin out of business or anything like that. I do not want that in any way, shape or form.
On the opposite.
I hope it will give them a push to invest more in the parks and show them that actually, yeah, we really do want that cool mega coaster that you've just built, Hyperia, but we want it really well themed as well. The music on the ride, in the ride vehicle or something like that, that really elevates the experience. And that's the kind of experience that you see from Universal, from Disney, from Warner Brothers when they're building parks over in like Dubai and Abu Dhabi and places like that. You know, that's what we want as theme park fans. There's certain people that do want just a coaster credit and cannot take that away from them at all. I'm jumping on a good roller coaster, but I'm far more excited to jump on an experience that I will see something different every single time I ride. The Haunted Mansion is my favorite ride, and I could ride that over and over again. You know, something like Spider-Man in Islands of Adventure, these kind of rides really draw you back in to ride them time and time again.
So yeah,
it's exciting. It's a very exciting time for the UK theme park industry as a whole, actually.
I hope they use that.
I think they're going to have to majorly step up their game, basically.
Yeah.
To put it bluntly, because I think the thing that the UK does well, like, you know, Thorpe Park, Alton Towers, like, they've got the kind of thrill rides, but they just miss that complete immersion. And I think Universal Studios used to kind of miss the mark on that. I think like the OG Universal Studios, and then Harry Potter World opened, Islands of Adventure, and now Epic Universe is where they've clearly like taken Disney's immersiveness and the thrill rides and put it all together, and it looks incredible. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what they're going to be bringing over here realistically. I think now they've reached that level. I don't think they're going to go back down from it when they bring it over here. So I think that's what, especially Thorpe Park. Alton Towers, I think, will be fine because it's kind of a bit further away and a bit out of town. But Thorpe Park is going to have to really kind of step up the immersion and the whole experience outside of just the thrill rides. Does that make sense?
Yeah, same kind of thing. I think all of the UK is going to have to step up to compete. I think in two major aspects, I think the entertainment in the parks is going to be wiped off the floor with Universal, just from their level of, I guess, budget being one of it, of course, but their level of performers, their level of the original writing, but also obviously the themes that they do have the rights for. I think Thorpe Park, Alton Towers, Chessington, all of that is going to have to get their shows up and being better and bigger. But also, like, I know obviously, like how Charlotte said, like maybe Alton Towers might not be as effective, might hit Thorpe Park. But similarly, in the same kind of area, like Chessington is the kids' mm-hmm. park of the South, really. Yeah. And once, if Minion Land comes, they are screwed, basically. They're going to have to think about new ways, I think, to appeal to that younger UK generation. Because I know if I was a kid and I had the opportunity to hug Kung Fu Panda or go and see, I don't even know what they have over there right now. Like, yeah, it's kind of a no-brainer. And the level of dark rides and stuff. Like, yes. The UK doesn't really have. Not that I've been on anyway.
No, I think, yeah, I'm trying to think myself. The best one in recent years is probably Curse at Alton Manor that I've been on. That had a good story to it. And I was like, you know what? That actually surprised me a little bit. I thought it was just going to be a standard haunted house, but the queue was good. So I was actually quite impressed by that. And at Blackpool Pleasure Beach, you've got a Wallace and Gromit ride where you're riding a little slipper. And
no way.
It's not the best ride in the world, but like I got to ride in a little slipper.
I was going to say, the slipper sells it. I'm like, what?
I was sold, and like the Wallace and Gromit theme song's going on as you're going round. But you're right. When you look at Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, Rise of the Resistance, this level of dark ride that exists now. And it's like, well, we can't get away with what we used to be able to get away with over here. But I think everyone shares them insights in terms of they've got a certain amount of time, right? They've got a certain amount of time. It's not like it's open now and they've lost. It's like you've got 6 years to get back in the game and win over a country full of people who love to go to parks.
Now, I was going to save this, but I'll discuss it. I personally think Merlin is done. If this park opens, Thorpe Park, Alton Towers, Chessington are gone. They are either going to be bought by the Disney parks, and we are going to be getting multiple different Disney parks that are smaller, and we're going to be doing like a Florida style, how they've got an Animal Kingdom, how they've got Hollywood Studios with all the different parks. Or because Universal and Merlin already work together, of course, they've got things that are spread around different parks, but also more specifically Shrek's Adventure in central London. I personally think Merlin is going to keep the rights to Sea Life, and I think everything else is going to be given over to Universal over the next coming years, which is why this concept looks so small. And it's also why we don't have Harry Potter, because I personally think that Alton Towers is going to be an entire overhaul of a Harry Potter area. We're going to see Hogwarts Legacy, but in the real world. And we're going to completely restruggle it. They've already struggling. And if we then have a direct line to Disneyland Paris, if we then also have one of the biggest IPs to have ever hit the UK in terms of a theme park, there is no way that already struggling theme parks like Chessington and Thorpe Park can stay open the way they are. I genuinely think they are going to sell themselves to a company like Universal, to a company like Disney. I reckon Universal will have first pick on it. And I genuinely think that is going to be where certain IPs come in. Maybe that's why we haven't seen things like, you know, the whole Epic Universe style of things in terms of your, you know, Isle of Berk and stuff like that. Because imagine Thorpe Park, but entirely themed to Kung Fu Panda, Isle of Berk, Shrek, you know, an entire DreamWorks park. And I genuinely think that there is an IP for that in here in London. We've not only got things like Wallace and Gromit, we've got things like Flushed Away, we've got those London IPs already, but I think they would be stupid not putting those massive, massive characters, the massive IPs. We know how successful, you know, the Donkey and Shrek and people like that are in the Florida parks already. So I definitely think that's going to be coming over in some way, shape or form. I genuinely, I'm calling it now that Merlin will sell themselves to Universal to open up, so this park can basically be an expansion across multiple.
Yeah, to be honest, mate, it's very similar to the sentiment I share. My personal outlook is they've got 6 years. If they've not turned heads and turned the opinion of the UK theme park fans by the time that that park opens, it is done. And I think it could well be as well. They're against an uphill battle massively when you've got such a looming force that if this park does well, when this park does well, in the Universal UK one, you've got 2-3 ready-built theme parks there that Universal, like you say, I would love for Disney to come in and do it. I would, you know, of course I would. But if Universal have already shook hands with our government at this point, they will probably get first dibs.
I back it as well. I'm not going to be mad if we get our own.
The only thing that the Thorpe Park I'm okay with. Alton Towers, I wonder. It's a listed building. Like,
that's my only concern. I think Alton Towers could
stay. There's even height restrictions.
But then that's what makes me think that Harry
Potter. You could Harry Potter. Yeah, you could make it look like the school. Like, yeah. I guess you could put. But with there being such. It's such a beautiful, beautiful theme park. It really is stunning to walk around. But at the moment, every time I come away from there, I'm more disappointed than the last time. And that hurts even more. But they've been taking the piss because they've had a monopoly. That's the reality of it. They had no competition. So they were like, we can charge you $8 for this hot dog that you would pay £1 for in a school canteen. It's in the quality isn't there. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, we went to Disneyland Paris and we paid, what, $18 for a burger. And it was still like, that was expensive, but it was nice. It still filled the gap and it was like, oh, I didn't mind it. But every time I pay for food at Alton Towers, I'm pissed off. See,
but you expect it from Disney because you know what you're giving it to. Yeah. With Alton Towers, Thorpe Park, things like that, you don't.
Do you want a staggering? You know what? This is absolutely staggering. I don't even need to ask you the last question because I'll ask it and then just edit your response in. But I was just doing a look at some of the numbers. Merlin, $2.6 billion. Last year, and Universal 8. And you consider how many more parks Universal have, how it's stretched across the globe. Merlin have been rinsing us when you look at them stats.
Do you know why as well, though? It's because Merlin also own Legoland,
mm-hmm.
and they also own Sea Life.
Yeah.
Two of the most expensive IPs. So the three parks, so Chessington, Alton Towers, and Thorpe Park, are then kind of cover-ups. Like, I went to Thorpe Park last year and I got there and went, this is not designed for anyone above the age of 18. Like, it genuinely isn't.
Or below like 14.
If you're secondary school, if you're the end of secondary school, college, maybe first year of uni, you're chilling. You're going to enjoy yourself. But there's nothing exciting about it. And that's what does upset me about private parks, is that this is what Disney and Universal do so well, is the immersion in these parks is what keeps people coming back. And that is what I think fails Thorpe Park and Chessington as well. Chessington's great because it's a zoo, good fun. But Chessington is then seen as a kids park. Animal Kingdom is not. And that's because...
That's seen as a zoo.
but it's still a fantastic park.
I love it. I love it. I'm only joking.
I think that's what Universal. I genuinely think I can call it today on the 11th of April, 2025, that Merlin, you've been lovely, mate, but you are now going to be sold to Universal, and we're going to be getting everything we could ever want. Because
you're right.
The globe, where the most people are, and the biggest fandom, next to the Harry Potter studios, next to London as a filming studio in general, one of the biggest, and to be fair, one of the most touristed places in the world. I genuinely think this is a shot that if they miss it, you know, that'll haunt for life.
I agree. I agree. I think one last question to bring Disney back into it.
Mm-hmm.
Could you see this nudging Disney into opening a park in the UK? Or do you think I'm on the party that Paris I think is close enough. I'm with you. I think it's a UK mindset thing in thinking London and Paris is far away. I think Americans see that as like, no, it isn't.
It's a commute. Yeah, it's like some of them commute 3 hours to work. Like it's shorter. I think, I don't necessarily think they'll build another park in the UK. I mean, the original decision to build Paris, the debate that Disney had was UK or Paris, and they chose Paris. Probably for the better access to mainland Europe, I imagine. But one thing we do know about Disney is they have a lot of sway, a lot of sway to the level of governments, right? So what I think they'll do, I think they'll work to kind of create this multi-day destination holiday of Universal London. Because you could do it like with Madame Tussauds and everything, and like the London Eye and everything. You could create a real big week.
Merlin have got them though. That's exactly. The thing.
Well, I don't think they'll work necessarily with them, but I think they'll work with holiday operators like TUI or whoever it is to build these week-long holidays where you do Disneyland Paris, you do Universal, you do London attractions with Merlin, right? So that kind of thing. But the other thing I think they really need to do, and we're seeing a bit of this in the States now, is bring back what's called what's in Orlando is called the Disney Bubble, but it's just those extra perks, right? So there used to be a direct Eurostar from King's Cross to, is it King's Cross, St. Pancras, to Disneyland. Now you have to go into Paris and come back out, right? And you literally used to be able to go directly to Disneyland Paris, and you came out an entrance at Disneyland Paris. It was called, like, it wasn't the Magical Express, it was something like that. And I think they'll bring that back to make that ease happen. I think if you have a direct train, hopefully the one we discussed, the 9 3/4 to Universal UK, and then at the same time you also have a direct train from King's Cross to Disneyland Paris, I think you've got a very easy multi-day destination for tourists who have traveled from afar, from abroad. And I think you'd see King's Cross hotel revenue accelerating as well, because people would probably stay there. But that's what I'd be doing if I was Disney. I'd be looking at ways to make, not to compete with them and not try and fight them, but to almost be a part of it, like not partner with them, but like, what is it? A rising tide raises all ships. I'd go for that approach.
Yeah, I think so. I agree. I think that it is so close. It is so close. And if they bring that direct line, that direct connection back, and have the King's Crosses, I couldn't agree more. It's just such an easy journey. And then obviously you get that train back to King's Cross, to Houston, to wherever you need to go, and you fly home. So I'm with you.
Even simple things like Disney used to do a thing in Orlando, and they're bringing it back apparently, where you like check your luggage into your flight and it's delivered to your hotel room. So do that with the Eurostar to Disneyland Paris. If you're staying in a Disneyland Paris hotel, imagine how relaxing that'd be. You're an American tourist, you come over, you go to King's Cross, put your luggage on the Eurostar, and it arrives at your hotel room later for you. And you can go straight in the park when you arrive without having to sort out suitcases. It's a gold mine, surely.
I agree. But that's all the questions I've got for you. Like I said, I'll definitely get you back on and we can talk about where the magic started and your favorite films and your hot takes and all that, because that'll be great fun. But thank you so much for jumping on. That's it, I guess.
Sorry, mate. Appreciate it.
That's all right, my man. I'll definitely see you there in 2031. I'll probably see you before, hopefully.
Hopefully. We'll
wrap it up there, because like I said, we could genuinely talk about this for hours and hours and hours. And this is just the beginning. As of recording this, like I say, we were a day after the announcement, a day after your video, and I'm sure we're both going to collaborate on a lot of content between now and then, and hopefully be stood there together when the gates open.
Absolutely. I can't wait for it. And not to do too much of a shameless plug or anything like that.
No, do it. It's not shameless. I always say this. This is the thing about the shameless. No shameless plugs on here. All plugs are shameful.
Becky and I, we're heading to Orlando next week to experience Epic Universe. We've got a couple of preview tickets for that. So it kind of leads into this. If you want to see the latest and greatest of what Universal has to offer, Epic Universe is the gold standard of it at this point. So go and check out our videos. I'd love for people to follow along and comment on that and just see what they're offering, because a lot of that is going to translate into this UK park. And they've got 6 years to improve the technology and the experiences that they're doing in Orlando at Epic and translate that to us. And there's only good things to come from that.
And that's from me as well. I wouldn't ever plug anything I don't believe in on this channel. That's not what I'm about. And I said to you, Lee, I have got the attention span of a golden retriever. So to be able to retain my attention for a video, but you do it. And not only that, not only the epic previews, go and follow Lee on Instagram at Brit Travels, but also that backlog of content, because this map, this concept art, it doesn't look like what Epic looks like. So the fact that you've got that backlog of content to go and look at all these Universal parks, even all the other Disney parks, you've been to every castle, man. That's huge. So if that's not enough of a credential, I don't know what is. But Lee, it genuinely has been a pleasure to speak to you. And this is the first time of many, because I'm just going to be asking you questions throughout this whole 6-year process.
I appreciate it. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
But that is all I'll ask you. That is all I'll keep you for. But like I said, I will definitely get you back. I said, right. I'll see you later. Charlotte just went, right, see you.
Signed off.
Yeah. But no, like I said, I'll get you both back on and we'll definitely do a full episode. We'll hopefully get the technical difficulties sorted. But if not, we can roll through it. I reckon we style it out pretty good.
Back in like 2 weeks, so hopefully the next Wi-Fi batch will be better.
Cool, but it has been genuinely, it's been a pleasure to have you, and thank you so much for jumping on in such short notice. Charlotte might be back for me to hear me say thank you for coming on the show.
Maybe I'll say it for her. Thank you for thinking of us. Like, genuinely, we had such a good time, like, chatting and thinking about everything, and also nice to meet you.
Definitely. Yes, absolutely. Charlotte, are you back with us?
I am. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
When we chat next, I'll have much better Wi-Fi, I promise, because I won't be at home in Bath.
that's quite all right. We got all the info is there. Like I say, it's not an issue. But you're back for me to actually say thank you to you, and not just have to say, Tash, say thank you to Charlotte on behalf of me. Thanks for both coming on. And guys, go and follow Taking the Mickey if you don't already, because honestly, great content always brightens up my day when I'm scrolling through. If you're not already, then you know what to do. I completely agree. But let me switch back to here to say thank you, obviously, for coming on and discussing that. This is the 11th of April, 2025, and we are 6 years out from this park being built. But hopefully, mate, we'll be stood there together as the gates open.
Opening day. Invite us, please, anyone watching.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Listen, look at me wearing Universal gear.
I was trying to find somebody, Amity.
Yeah, no, see, that this is the one thing I do when I'm pretty warm. But no, I genuinely do love Universal. I've always said Universal fits more in the UK than Disney does. I don't know why that is. I think it's because of that, what the current theme park scene is in a thought park of that kind of 13 to 19 age gap. It will appeal to them, but they also won't be able to get away with the stuff that they get away with in an Alton Towers, in a thought park, in a pleasure beach. So that intrigues me. That's all just speculation, and we'll never know. But
all of it is,
genuinely, I'm sure we'll do this again, because I want to do a whole episode actually about UK Horror Nights. Now I've thought about it, so I'll definitely get you back in for that. But
yeah, man, definitely.
What have you got planned? Anything to plug about? Any new premieres that you're going to go to?
Not that I can really talk about. Other than that, not necessarily anything planned as per se. We're on the road to 1,000 followers over on TikTok. We are very, very close. So hopefully, we are nearly there by the time you get there. So I guess follow we. But other than that, just continuing living life and hopefully covering more and more on this. So if you do want to see more on parks, Disney, films in general, then subscribe, follow to both myself and of course Geordie as well.
Then that was exactly why I wanted you here, because a lot of the people that I've got in have been very park orientated. You've got that kind of knowledge of the film industry that I was really intrigued to pick up on, and you did not disappoint. It's been a pleasure to have you back, my friend, and I'm sure that this won't be the last time.